John chapter number 6 this morning, Jesus has fed the 5,000. He's going to give a wonderful discourse on the bread of life. Aren't you glad that Jesus is able to say, I am the bread of life? The Jews hated him. They were familiar with that I am statement. Moses said, who shall I say sent me? And God said, just tell them I am. Not I was, not I will be someday. Thank God the I am is still the I am. He's here this morning. I am the resurrection and the life, he said. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the water of life. Praise God, he's the bread. Look in verse number 37 with me for a moment. We'll read a few verses. I'll ask you, if you're able, stand with me in reverence to the word of God. Stretch your legs a moment. John chapter 6, verse 37. I really desire the prayers of all of those that have that unhindered access to the throne of God. And I'm going to be honest with you. Listen, can I be honest with you a minute? Brother Aaron, I've already sensed more liberty in this service, I believe, than I ever have in an Easter service. Somebody's already been praying. I'm grateful for that. We need him, don't we? How many would say amen? We need him. If anything's done this morning, it's going to have to be him that does it. The Bible said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. I want you to look at this phrase. But should raise it up again at the last day. Now this is something I want you to watch. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have what kind of life? And I will raise him up at the last day. That's the second time in two verses he said, I will raise him up at the last day. Look at verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him. You see, murmuring is not something that's new in our day. They do a lot of that in Washington, D.C. There's a whole lot of that done in the average church, just whining and complaining and murmuring. The Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They said, is not this Joseph, Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? I want to stop and ask a question. How many believes he came down from heaven? How many believes he's going to come down again? Amen. He's going to step out on a cloud first and receive his children unto himself, his church. Then 7 years later, he's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. And we're coming with him. Amen. He's going to set up a kingdom on this earth. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Look at it again. And I will raise him up at the last day. Can I tell you that Jesus only has to say something once for it to be so? But in these few verses of Scripture, 3 times our Lord said, youngins, don't worry about it. I know who belongs to me. And I will raise him up in the last day. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. It is precious, our Lord, to our souls. It is the Word which liveth and abideth forever. I pray, dear Lord, this morning that you would speak to our hearts in this service. And Lord, I ask you today, Lord, to speak to the heart of that individual that doesn't know you. They don't know for sure what would happen to them, Lord, if you were to come back today or if they were to leave out of this world today. Lord, I pray that that uncertainty would be turned into certainty this Lord's day. I pray, God, for the children of God. Some, Lord, have grown cold. Some have gotten to where there's a distance, our Father, between them and you. I pray, Lord, that that distance would be closed up this day, that they could leave here knowing, Lord, that they're in the arms of Christ, the one that loved us and gave himself for us. You take control of this service, Lord, and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to preach this morning. Jesus said, I will raise him up at the last day. And I want to look at the Word of God along these lines. And I've got several areas that I want to look at. But how is it that Christ, with such confidence, can say, not I might, but I will raise him up at the last day? One of the mistakes that's made in the business world is somebody starts a business and they get it off of the ground and they get the blessing, the money starts flowing real good, and then all of a sudden they figure they need some help, so they get someone to help them and someone to look after the business. But that someone that's looking after the business doesn't have the heart for the business that that person that started the business has. If you're not careful, that business will just gradually go down and down and down, because the one that started it is not the one taking care of it. Can I say something to you this morning? The church is the Lord's business. He started it. The Bible said he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. And he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now I want you to get this morning. He never has, and he never will, turn it over to somebody else to look after it. It's Resurrection Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. I want to start this morning with some scripture in the book of Hebrews. The Bible said God, in chapter 1 of verse 1, the Bible said, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, goes perfectly, Brother Brian, with Stephen, how he took off in his message, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, the Bible said, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I want to emphasize something this morning. There's no way I thought about trying to illustrate it, but how could you illustrate the throne of God? You have to see by faith this morning that God is sitting on a throne. And you have to see that at the right hand of God is his Son, the Lord Jesus. I want you to pick up on this phrase as we go through the message this morning. How can Jesus say with confidence, I will raise him up at the last day? I'll tell you how. He's sitting at the right hand of God, and he's overseeing what he started. Are you listening to me this morning? It's not in somebody else's hands. It's in his hands this morning. I want you to see some things. First of all, because our Lord rose again and is sitting at the right hand of God, the sinner can be forgiven. That's what the Word of God said here. By himself, he purged our sin. He didn't need any help. Amen. Putting us in the family of God. And I'm just going to tell you, he don't need our help keeping us in the family of God. Amen. He's got this. I belong to Him. I'm not my own. I've been bought by a price. Therefore, I'm to glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are the Lord's. Now, I think it's a wonderful truth this morning that Jesus lives, don't you? Let me tell you something that's really been stirring in my heart all week, and I didn't know how God was going to put this together. Told my wife yesterday, I came out of the dining room, I'd been studying, I said, honey, He's given me direction. That might not mean much to you if you've never had to teach a class or never had to preach a message, but I tell you, if you depend on God, you love it when He gives you the direction. Now watch this. The Bible said in Hebrews 7:25, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Beloved, Jesus doesn't just live. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and the Word of God said He ever liveth. A preacher one time was preaching. Congregation was kind of dry. And he stopped in the middle of his message and he said, folks, I wouldn't get too excited. He said, those of you that have been born again, saved by the grace of God, he said, you're only going to live as long as God does. Well, you think about that for just a minute. The Word of God said He ever liveth to make intercession for. He died once. He'll never die again. He lives. He ever liveth. You see, this is what the Bible is saying. There's a throne, and God is on the throne. There's one sitting at His right hand that ever liveth. And in order to come to God, you've got to come through Him. You've got to come through the Son. Beloved, there's all kinds of people in the world that'll talk about the good man upstairs or the big man upstairs. And they'll say God freely. But I'm telling you right now, there's only one way to God, and His name is Jesus. The Bible said, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. The Bible said this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all. Beloved, Jesus is sitting there. I know there was a night when I got saved, February 22nd, 1987, and I came. And no doubt, Christ sitting at the right hand of God, there was an accuser on the other side. And I bowed my head, I bowed my heart. I said, oh God, I'm a sinner. I believe in a moment of time, the accuser said, you don't know the half of it, God. Let me tell you everything that boy's done. Let me tell you about his rotten thought process. Let me tell you about his sin. Let me tell you how filthy he is. And the Son says, Father, I know. I already know. Father, that's why I died. That's why I shed my blood. Lord, he's not coming on his own. He's not coming in his own merit. Lord, he's coming believing that I died on an old rugged cross, that they buried me, and I rose again the third day. Father, forgive him. The devil has to take a hike because the blood of Jesus bought my pardon. The Bible said, but this man that after that he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God the Father. What's he doing sitting there? He's waiting on that sinner. He's waiting on that sinner to say, I've had enough. I'm tired of this sin. I'm tired of this guilt. I'm tired of this shame. I'm tired of laying down at night not knowing where I'm going to be if I don't wake up in the morning. I'm tired of it. I want to be united with my Creator. That's why God created us, to bring Him glory. There's only one way to be united with him, and that's through his Son, the one that sitteth at the right hand of the Father. Secondly, this morning, not only is it important that our Lord rose again and is sitting at the right hand of God so that the sinner can be forgiven. Watch this now. A lot of people have missed this. But also so the saints can be forgiven. You're not going to get saved and live very long until you're going to blow it. You say, preacher, I wouldn't say that. I mean, well, you probably haven't lived for God very long. I believe God hedges us in, don't you, when we first get saved? But I believe as we mature, the hedge begins to come down. Say amen. And God wants us to stand, and having done all, to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 34, I'm going to turn there because I would like to read the rest of it as well. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 34, I want to begin reading there, and I want to show you something that I believe is important. The Word of God said, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for, who's writing the book? Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Who does the us represent? Those that are saved by the grace of God have a mediator sitting at the right hand of God. We have an advocate so that when we, my friend, blow it, we can say, oh God, I'm sorry, forgive me. And he will wash us and cleanse us from all of our sin. Beloved, let me tell you this. The Bible said judgment must first begin at the house of God. We want to see a multitude of sinners saved. I believe we need to see a multitude of saints cleaned up. And the only way to get cleaned up, beloved, is to get fessed up with the one that's sitting at the right hand of God the Father making intercession for us. My little children, John said, these things write I unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Let me ask you a question. The Bible said, let us lay aside every sin and the weight that does, every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. How many knows what that verse is talking about? Yeah. Raise your hand if you know there's something that nags at you, something pulling at you. For one man, it might be one thing. For one lady, it might be one thing. And for another, another thing. But I'm telling you, every one of us has something that nags at us. Amen. You say, I don't. Well, I'll tell you what's nagging at you, and that's your pride. Say amen. Every one of us has got something that's trying to pull us down, trying to pull us away from the things of God and away from fellowship with God. But there's a God that says there's a throne. You can find mercy, but you got to come through the intercessor. The only way really to get that prayer to him is through the Holy Spirit. I thank God today that on this Easter Sunday, there's not just one that lives, but there's one that ever liveth, amen, sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Beloved, I've given you two things thus far. Let me hurry along. Because our Lord rose again and is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, the sinner can be forgiven. The saints can be forgiven. Thirdly, the saints can live in victory. You don't have to live a defeated life as a Christian. Everything that we need, beloved, is right here in this book. right here in our heart, being the Holy Spirit, and seated right here at the right hand of God the Father, everything that we need to live in victory. Let me show you what I mean. Ephesians 1:19, it said, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I'm telling you, beloved, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. But I'm telling you, there's somebody seated higher than the highest wickedness in this world. Somebody that's got more power than the devil. Somebody that's got more power than the flesh. Somebody that's got more power than this world. The saints can live in victory. Going back to Romans chapter number 8. How can Jesus say, I will, not I might, but I will. All that the Father, all that come to me, all that the Father hath given me will come to me. And he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. But I tell you what I'm going to do. Those that come to me, I'm going to raise them up in the last day. Oh, we like that over there in John chapter 14 where Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If I'm not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what did he say? I might. No, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You say, Pastor, how can God say with such confidence, I will raise him up at the last day? I'll tell you how. He's taking care of his own business. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. He's not turned it over to somebody else. Beloved, he'll see to it. That's why the Bible said he's the author and the finisher of our faith. Watch this now. Christ is even at the right hand of God, making intercession in verse number 34 of Romans 8. Then he said this. I never had thought about this before, honestly. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Praise God, I could shout on being a conqueror. But God said we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Watch this now. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels. You say, preacher, how could Paul be persuaded? Jesus spoke with such confidence. I will raise him up again at the last day. How can Paul have such confidence? His confidence is not in Paul. His confidence is in the one he met on the road to Damascus. His name is Jesus. Watch this now. He said, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Notice that powers. Notice that principalities. Beloved, if you don't know that we have an enemy, you've got your head in the sand. It's been all over the news this week. Church membership is going down. Church membership is not what it used to be. I'll tell you what, I'm for joining the church. Hallelujah. Someday before long, I'm going to get the church covenant, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to ask from this pulpit, why wouldn't you want to enter into that covenant with God's people? The church membership never got anybody to heaven. Church membership will never give you victory. Only the one seated at the right hand of God the Father, and communion and communication with him, help you to live in victory. Principalities, not going to move me. That's what Paul said. Powers, things present, things to come. No height, nor depth. Paul said, wait a minute, I might have forgot something. Nor any other creature. shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. You say, preacher, boy, that's victory. It is if you ever realize it. Amen. If you ever realize, beloved, he's the one that puts you in the family, and he's the one that'll keep you in the family. He's the one, beloved. We're kept, the word of God said, by the power of God. I appreciate the Lord because he's sitting there. Sinner can be forgiven. The saints can be forgiven. The saints can live in victory. Then this is the last thing in the message. The saints can stand together. How many believes it's likely if Jesus was praying something in John chapter 17, that if he's interceding for us, that still stands? As a matter of fact, even if that weren't the case, the way Jesus worded it in his prayer in John 17, it would still stand. Jesus said in John 17, verse 20, neither pray I for these alone. He's talking to the Father. He's praying for the disciples. He said, I'm not just praying for them, but for all them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's every born-again believer in this building. God prayed for us in John 17. Watch this now. What was his prayer? That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Why does he want unity? Why is he praying for unity? Why is he sitting at the right hand of the Father today, desiring unity among God's people? Here's the reason: that the world might believe. The Bible said that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me have I given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. The saints can stand together because the Savior is seated at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. The Bible said in Colossians 3, verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Beloved, what are we seeking this Easter Sunday? Many are seeking a rabbit. Many are seeking an egg. Help me. How many are seeking those things which are above? Where Christ. What? What is it that we should be seeking? Fellowship. Forgiveness. Faithfulness. Those are the things that Christ gives to those who ask. The story is told of a king. He was in his throne room and he was holding a council with advisors and noblemen, high ministers of state. Suddenly there was a bang and a clatter at the door. One of the noblemen answered the door. And this little boy shot by him. Somebody said, grab him! Somebody grabbed the little boy and said, son, you can't just run in here like this. You can't do it. We're in a session with the king. Little boy looked up and said, he's your king, but he's my father. And the king on the throne opened his arms, and the little boy jumped up in his lap. You know what God wants this morning? He wants somebody that ain't never been born again to jump up in his lap. Experience what these young ladies sang. He loves you. He'll never love you 1 ounce more than he does right now. He's not waiting on you to do anything to love you. But he is waiting on you to respond to his love in order that he can save you. Then there's the child of God. Oh, it's Easter Sunday. Brother Brian, I thought a while ago in your teaching, God used you this morning, brother. Talking about, you know, we don't have to argue it. Why do you believe Jesus died? The Bible said so. Why do you believe he rose again? The Bible said so. Why do you believe he's coming back? The Bible said so. Amen. Why do you believe he'll raise you up? The Bible said so. Why do I believe I'm going to see mom and dad, my grandpa and my granny? Why do I believe I'm going to see my Uncle Bill that died at 18 years old, crippled? Why am I going to see my cousin, my first cousin, that died in a car wreck at age 17? I'll tell you why. Because God said, I'll raise him up. This morning, not only are there people here that need to be saved, there are people here, you say you believe on this Easter Sunday that he rose again, yet you haven't had 5 minutes to talk to a living Savior all week. You haven't had 5 minutes to read his book all week. You say, preacher, here's where the rubber meets the road. I'm trying to tell you, that's why he's sitting there. You say, preacher, you don't understand. No, but he does. He does. And he'll forgive you if you just swallow your pride. Say, God, I don't know how this distance happened, but it happened. I don't know how my heart got so cold, but it's cold. I don't know how I've allowed this into my life, but I've allowed it. You come to Jesus, just get real good and honest. That's how everybody gets saved. And that's how every Christian gets right. When you quit excusing it, say, oh God, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I'm going to tell you something. If my physical daddy was sitting right there, Brother Randall, I wouldn't give a rip what anybody thought. I'd run and I'd jump up in his lap in a heartbeat. But I'm going to tell you, my heavenly daddy did something for me that my physical daddy could have never done. And if I would run and jump up in the lap of my Father on earth, why wouldn't I want to jump up in the lap of my Father in heaven, fellowship with him? I was thinking, as Brother Brian was teaching, years ago, a man, he had been a drunkard. He had beaten his wife. He had beaten his kids. He was standing at a meeting of the Salvation Army, Brother Aaron. He was testifying. Brother Brian, I believe a changed life makes the argument as good as anything anybody could say. He changed our lives. Somebody in the crowd, a heckler, said, you're crazy. You've lost your mind, old man. You're dreaming. Little boy grabbed that man by the coattail. And he said, mister. He said, my daddy used to come home and beat us. Mister, we didn't have enough to eat. Mister, he beat my mommy. When he come home, we used to run and hide. He said this. He said, mister, please, mister. He said, if my daddy's dreaming, he said, don't wake him up. He said, we don't have to run and hide anymore. My daddy has a good job. He loves us and he loves mama. Jesus made a difference in his life. Please, If my daddy's dreaming, don't wake him up. I want you to know, beloved Christ, he said, I will raise him up again at the last day. And the reason he could say that with such fervor and such confidence is because he's still seated right where he was when he rose again, ministered on earth, went back to glory. As far as I can tell in the Bible, the only time he stood up, Brother Brian, is when Stephen died. Stephen said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. Can I tell you, he's fixing to stand up again? And he's fixing to step out on a cloud. And he's fixing to say, it's enough! Come on home, youngins. Come on home. This morning, if he were to do that, would you be in that crowd where he said, I will raise him up in the last day? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.